Man, she is singing my song this morning. Amen. I hope it's your song this morning. Take your Bibles and go to Psalms 31, if you would. And I missed a couple announcements, and I'll just do it as you turn. Psalms 31 this morning. And the offices are going to be closed for President's Day. Some good presidents in our past. Amen. And so we're going to honor them. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we'll take off, and the college is going to honor them by going to college, amen, and learning something, amen, and praise the Lord. And so you pray for them. And then also I wanted to mention just for, and I did this purposefully, Brother Rodriguez, if you'd stand, we're starting a brand new Bible doctrines, kind of basic Bible doctrines class. It's called Fitly Framed. And I had about 10 folks come out for it, and so we'd love for you to come out and be a part of it. If you are a brand new believer, or maybe you've been saved a long time, but there's some things you'd like to learn about just some basic Bible doctrines and be in the class, it's a good class. Brother Rodriguez, wave at them all. Turn around and look at them. I got to look at them. Amen. And so his class is just out these back doors, and you'll see the sign. There's a door just outside of the building that connects to another building there, and that's where the class is going to be held. And we'd love for you to join that and be a part with them. They've ordered some books. They started this week, but there's still time for you to get involved and be a part of it. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Psalms 31, I was thinking about how good God is. I was giving a testimony this week. I come out of chapel on Friday, and a man on a bicycle waved me down, said, "Pray for me, preacher." And it didn't take me long that I was in just what she sang. I was giving testimony. He was telling me about when I asked him what he needed prayer for. And he was telling me about his life and about where he was and how he was. It was hard life, and where he was at. And it didn't sound much different. My mind would go back to just where I would be if God hadn't reached down and saved my parents. And just saved my family. Went all the way through my family. Just he's so good. He just the witness of God, amen, and changed my life. I mean, and I stood there, and I mean, just began to think, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd have been this guy on this bicycle right here. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have the good wife that I have, amen. Valentine's Day rolling around, I don't know who I would have been married to had it not been for Jesus. Had it not been for Jesus in the local church, amen. Every good thing that ever happened to me, folks, happened in the church. Amen. I just want to praise a little while. Is that all right this morning? Can I just tell, I'm going to tell God how good he is. He not only saved me and kept me in church, but then after I got born again and knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I was on my way to heaven, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. And not because of any works that I could do, but because of the works that he did. Amen. Then I was thinking, he's good enough. If he's so good to go to Calvary for me, I'll get in the tank for him. Amen. And I was baptized. Amen. And I came in. I was so glad to witness in front of my church that I'd received Jesus Christ. I'd grown up in the church, folks, but it took me. I was hard-headed. It took me a while. I was 15 years old before I finally got saved, and I mean, and knew it, and I wanted to get baptized, and I got in the tank. You said, well, what did everybody think? I didn't care what they thought. I was doing what God told me to do. Amen. I got in the tank. And then I got out of the tank, and man, I saw a girl. Amen. In the church. Amen. And she was a pretty girl. Amen. And she turned into a pretty woman, and God just took and blessed in my life. And my mom, and in fact, they were twins, and when they were just young, I mean young, I didn't write this for next week. Don't think I'm going to give away. They've asked us to put some things in the bulletin. I hope you enjoy those things. And we want you to get to know us, those of you that know us well, and then those that that'll help you with getting to know me and my wife. And but I didn't put this in there. My mom was teaching about the 5 and 6-year-old class, and my wife was going to our church in that early age. And we were in the same classroom together, and my mom was the teacher. And that young age, probably about 6, 7, maybe 8 years old. And she has a twin sister. And after that Sunday school class, my mom went up, and with a 50-50 chance, she said, "My son is going to marry your daughter," and pointed at the wrong one. Amen. But amen. And but she was close to God's will. Amen. I mean, she got real close. Amen. But praise the Lord. I thank God for his love for me and what he's done in my life and just how he's kept me in church. And the church matters, folks. I know that a lot of people believe in this life that, you know, you just get saved. If Jesus, I mean, through you cannot separate in the Bible how Jesus, when you think about a day that, I mean, commemorates what we would consider love, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible talks about it as being his bride. And so when we talk about the church, I mean, he gives and loves and grows people through the local church. And I'm not saying that just because I'm the pastor. I'm saying it because it worked in me. It changed me. It changed my life. You can get saved anywhere out on the street, and you can live the rest of your life out there. But it's the local church, this family of God, the people of God, that he puts us in and lets us be a part of, that gives us what the Christian needs to fulfill this life. You can't have it outside of the local church. You can be saved. You can get to heaven. But if you want to go and have all the blessings of God in your life, you got to go salvation through Jesus Christ, and you need to get into a biblical, local, and I'll go further, Baptist church. Amen. Say, Brother Parsons, oh man, you offended me right there. Well, just wait. I'm just getting started. Amen. Amen. And I'm not looking to offend anybody today, but again, when you tell the truth, sometimes people are offended. And there are so many different versions of the truth out there today. I'm thinking about this week. Let me just say this. For the tape room, the message title is True Love. All right, True Love. And everybody, I tried to search a definition of true love. And before the end of the day, I hope that I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but I think most of you know where I'm headed before I get done. Amen. But I want to tell you this. When I knew that I had true love for my wife, and I know she does not like for me to talk about her in the sermons. That's why I didn't let her write this one. Amen? Amen? So I remember we were young, and I grew up, and many of you, I talked a little bit last week about growing up on a farm, and I did, and we had all kinds of corn, soybeans, all kinds of things, but the main part of the farm that I was a part of, that I grew up on, one of my preacher's brother and Purdue Brothers is the farm that I grew up on. And I mean, they had 27,000 hogs. I mean, that's a lot of pigs, all right? That's a lot of bacon, folks. Amen. I felt something right there. Amen. Amen. And I'm not even going to go to pork chops before. Amen. So, but I mean, that's a lot of pigs. That's between sows and boars and all the baby piglets. I mean, they just had pigs everywhere, and we just worked it, and we grew corn, all the corn we could, and then we bought everything that Purdue Chicken Plant wouldn't buy so we could have stuff to feed them. And I mean, we just were always working, and it came to the area, and many of you understand, I mean, there was we called it the boar lot, and there was a time of the year where the lady pigs and the male pigs, they'd get together, and I was working in that, and it doesn't smell good. I mean, them boar pigs are just like men. They don't smell as good as the ladies, amen? And I was working in that, and my wife just happened, I don't remember why she was in town or what it was. I know it wasn't Valentine's Day, but I had to work that day, and she stayed at the house with Mama. And I'm going to tell you, boys, let me tell you what you ought to look for. My wife, before she was my wife, went, and I mean, when she was determined, I knew this was part of it. She knew that I liked some things that my mama made, and she went and said, Mama, you teach me how to make this. My mom don't make that. Would you teach me how to make that? You know, she wanted to please me long before we ever got married. She wanted, we make them old thin, slippery dumplings at my place, amen? And I mean, you may not like that, but listen, I'm here to tell you ain't had Miss Sherry's yet, all right? And so, but I mean, she, you know, and I would say this, Mom, if you're watching, you're going to have to forgive me for this one. But I mean, she not only learned from Mom, but she took it a whole notch higher, amen? And I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you, I mean, them are some good things. Even when she goes home now, Mom says, go on and make them, Sherry, amen? Because she knows, amen? And she knows, amen? So she's going to call me afterwards. You know, I turned my ringer off, so she, and if it goes off, we'll baptize it right here in the service. But I was out in the boar pen all day long and come back for lunch, and they had fixed lunch, and I mean, I didn't smell good, folks. If I was her, I would not have gotten anywhere near me. I would not have sat with that person. I come in, and I mean, you know, I took off this muddy clothes that I could. We had coveralls on, but I still had that putrid smell upon me. But she sat there and smiled just like there was nothing wrong. She sat close to me like she always had done, not too close. I mean, there was good separation. And we ate lunch together, and she acted like there was nothing. I mean, she was just as happy as she could be. And I knew right then that that girl loved me. I mean, I knew that, I mean, she was over the moon for me because I was thinking, I stink. I can't hardly stand me. Amen. And when I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, that's a bad smell. But man, can you imagine what we look like to him and our trespasses and sin and how wrong and how separated we were from him? But he loved us in our sin anyway. He loved us right where we were and wanted to redeem us back to himself and paid for us on Calvary. I want you to look at verse 13 and chapter 31. I'm going to try to preach a message on true love today, and it may seem like it'll start a little slow, but true love, folks, I the picture of true love in my life is not just that of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had some grandparents that when they got married, I mean, they meant it. They said I do, they meant it. And they had struggles. They had hard times that they went through. I've heard some, my grandfather tell me some stories, but I watched through their lives how they've loved each other and taken care of each other. I watched how my grandfather, my grandmother began, her family had Alzheimer's in their family, and I watched him take care of her. I listened as, and when I went and helped do part of her funeral, when I went home to be there with him, he said, I tried to console him, and he said, Barry, Grandma's not been here a long time. But he treated her with love. When she asked the same questions over and over again, I watched him answer with love. He cared for her. I watched what true love was, and I know from the scriptures what the Bible talks about with the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to show you some evidences, and I hope today when we're talking about our Lord and Savior, some evidences in the Christian life of true love. There's no question, folks, today. I'm going to preach Jesus today, but I want you to understand there's no question of his love for us. But sometimes we got to check up whether we got true love for him. Sometimes we got to check up, are these things evident in my life? Can the world see that I truly love the Lord Jesus Christ the way I ought to? Would you pray with me this morning before we dive into the scripture? Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for your Bible. I thank you for the word that we can go to and this wonderful love letter that you've written us that we can read and study and know how much you love us and how you died for us and how you cared for us and how you're coming again for your church, your bride. God, help us today. Lord, use me as your messenger boy to deliver your message to your people. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 31 and verse 13, the Bible is going to say some things, and I know that we have biblical literalists in this building, and so I'm not going to bend anything or break it, but I'm going to allude to something, and so please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to add to the Bible, but I'm just going to say what happened in my head when I read this. Look here in verse 13, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. And this week I thought about, as I read the psalm, my life, my liberty, and my pursuit of happiness. We live in a country, folks, where people, I don't understand why in the world, and this is just a little, if I could have a small time out of frustration, I thank God that some men showed up with some backbone and stopped this impeachment process, and it did not go through. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are seven men that and women, there are some of those, that call themselves one thing, but they're not. They say they're conservative, but phooey on them, they're far from it, all right? We live in a day and age where, again, we had somebody this week, and I won't go through all of it, but somebody I heard that was fired this week because they stood up and said, they don't even hold our political position, but they said they referenced the attack from the left on the right as Nazi Germany going after anyone who doesn't believe like they believe. And they got fired from their job by Disney because they spoke up and said something. Now, they didn't say it was because of their political position. They said it was because of their raw reference of Nazism upon people. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that Christianity is being persecuted in the day and age that we live. And not just Christians, but they are looking to strip Americans of their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. They attack life through abortion. They attack our liberty through executive order and ultimately a number of other things. Trying to, again, if you don't know this, and again, you say, well, I'm not here to hear politics. Well, I'll get through the first point and move on here in a second, all right? Just as my preacher would say, go on and buckle up. But liberty is something that is, again, is a God-given right. And they're not just trying to legislate things that would be just with our lives and livelihood, but also the liberty and the free speech to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ and the correct, true doctrines that are found therein. I read an article, not from someone of our stripe, but again, it caught my eye as I scrolled through pages of things that went on this week and saw the Ark over there in Kentucky and at the top of the page. And they began to write about how they had failed and how a terrible job they had done and how they needed to double down because 40% of Americans still believe in creationism, that they still believe in an Adam and Eve and not an Adam and Steve, that they still believe in that there was a young earth and that there was a purposeful creation of all things and that there was a flood that covered all the earth. That person was writing against us, folks, and I was disheartened, not because they were after us. I knew who they are. But because only 40% of Americans would stand up and say what they believe is true. We've come to a sad day when only 40%, I would say, I'd argue maybe about 60% of people would say that they believe that if they weren't being asked it and it was going to be written down in a statistic. But we've come to a day and age where 20 or 30% of our population don't know which way to go. They don't know what to say. They're scared to say anything in case they're persecuted because the left doesn't like what they say. That's not what America was founded on, folks. That's not freedom of speech. And when a man, whatever happened, I remember as a child thinking they ought not let people stand up and say that kind of stuff because it was wrong. But my dad would say, that's free speech, son. They got the right to get up and he goes, even if it's crazy, they got the right to get up and say it. Hey, folks, we have been tolerant a long time of the left's position on some things, but they're not tolerant people. They're not going to let us preach. They're going to try to silence us all they can. If you don't think so, I believe in my lifetime we'll see some preachers like we did in the 80s and in the 70s when we had full-blown liberalism running the country, just like back in Carterism days. They're going to be putting preachers in prison. They're going to be coming after everybody they can. And we had a bunch of people stand up and speak out when they went after preachers. And if we don't do it this time, they're going to keep on keeping on. And they're just going to keep imprisoning, keep taking people's lives, keep taking people's liberties, and keep taking their pursuit of happiness. Amen. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't know about that. I'm here to tell you, folks, that's not a prophecy. That's upon the front door. It's knocking at the front door of every American. And if we don't wake up as God's people and stand up for what we believe, then we don't truly love this book, this land, or the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Point number one, if you want, look at verse 14. But I trusted in thee. He said, boy, for I have heard the slander in verse 13 of many. Fear was on every side. Boy, I can think, I see it everywhere. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. In verse 14, the psalmist says, but I trusted in thee. O Lord, I said, thou art my God. Hey, do you know what I learned about people that truly love each other? They ain't afraid to say it. Do you know, I've watched relationships in the college that are incognito. They're afraid of being classified as liking each other or being boyfriend and girlfriend or that we're dating. And some of them, it's because of the restrictions of the college. You know, we make them fill out these papers to tell us where they're going. Amen? You say, Brother Parsons, that's harsh. Well, don't go there. Amen? You get to enroll and you know. But I mean, I think we're pretty easy on them. I think we're pretty good. We'd send them with another person. Now, the guys don't like it because they got to pay for not only their girlfriend, but the other girl, too. Amen? But, you know, you don't have to go that far back that it wasn't right for people to go out on their own by themselves. You know you can't trust yourself. Amen, preacher. Amen. Hey, parents, while I'm here, just let me say it. That's not just good for the college students. That's good for your home. But I can trust mine. No, you can't. You know better. You tell them to clean the room, you can trust them to clean the room. If they, listen, the natural lust of the flesh is on every one of them. It didn't skip a generation. It didn't jump out of somewhere. If you want to protect your family and you truly love them, then you're going to watch after them. You say, well, who am I going to send with them? Send a brother and sister. If you got a Gracie like I got, send Gracie with them. She'll tell on every one of them. It really depends on how much money they have. Because if they, you know, let's make a deal. Some of you remember that. But I mean, I remember not too far back where that was what it was. You sent somebody with that dating couple. You didn't send them by themselves. Amen, Brother Parsons. That's right preaching. That's good for people. It's good for us. It's good for us. Watches over us and helps us. But I can tell you right now, I didn't have any problem telling anybody who I liked. Her name was Sherry White. Amen. And I would write it all over every book that I had. Amen. Instead of the little dot of the eye, I would write a heart and make a dot at the bottom of it. I'd write it on everything. And listen, if I took you and showed you her school books, Barry Parsons was written all over every bit of it. Amen? And I was proud of that. And I wanted to tell, listen, in this world, I want to say praise the Lord when something good happens. I want to tell them whose I am. I want to tell them about who I love. I want to say, amen, let it be so. I want to tell people. I want to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, but I trusted in thee. You know, we got a mess of trouble in this country. And no politician's going to fix it. No preacher by himself is going to fix it. No church by itself is going to fix it. There's one person, and it is Almighty God, and it's whom I trust in, and I put my faith in, and I'm not scared to tell everybody whose I am. I say to them, thou art my God. Amen. True love says it, folks. I want to get out there and tell people. We used to have people that would get on camera and not be scared to death to be, written off as a crazy person and say, I'm trusting in God. I've got faith in God. I love God. It's good for businessmen to tell other people, I'm trusting God by faith with this. It's good for housewives to tell people that they got on the phone or at the hairdresser or wherever it is that ladies go, I'm trusting God. He's my God. It's good for men that are working beside each other when you're talking about things in your everyday life, when you're sitting there eating lunch with just a coworker or somebody along the way. I trust in God. My faith is in Him. He's my God. Ownership, personal ownership. Don't tell me that you got a Valentine. If you're worth your weight or your salt, as I would say, you would say, that's my Valentine. You'd show ownership. Today, in a day when we love, you say, that's a simple point. Not in today's world, folks. We're so quiet today. We want to fly under the radar and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ incognito. We're more rebuttal or outspoken about wearing a mask than we are about our relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm anti-mask. I'll just tell you right now. I mean, I'm not against you wearing a mask. Amen. As preacher would say, if that's what you feel like you ought to do for yourself, man, wear that thing. Amen. I don't think it's going to do me any good. So I'm not wearing it. But I know this, it ain't going to do me no good to deny my Lord. It ain't going to do me no good not to tell people about how good He is and how great He's been, how He's the champion of my life, how He's my strength, How if I didn't have him day to day, I couldn't do all that I do in a day. I couldn't have strength and faith to go on one more day if it wasn't for Jesus and what he's done for me. I want everybody, listen, if you have a true love in this life, you don't mind telling people. And just like the psalmist, we need to cry out, "Thou art my God." When was the last time you reached out to him and not just casually, but I mean in prayer, said, "Thou art my God"? And in honesty, think about this. Think about all the little G gods, things that you put in your life that you put before him. When we cry out, "Thou art my God," it puts it in perspective, all the other things that we put before him. Crying out to him helps us. Saying it helps us. Speaking about it. Valentine's Day, why in the world do we have it? I can tell you, I thank God for it, because every once in a while, I need to be reminded of my priorities in this life. I need to be reminded of what ought to come before some other things. And on a day like today, when we think about the true love that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to set some perspective for us. What kind of time do I really give him? You say, "Brother Parsons, I don't know." Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Listen, look down with me. He goes on, he says, "My times are in thy hand." Do you realize the days of your life are in the hand of God? Why would you trust in anything but him? And we could go through all the sicknesses and viruses of this life, but my times are in his hand. If I'm going to cry out to somebody to deliver me, it's not going to be Dr. Fauci. It's going to be God Almighty. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Not for my sake, not because I'm good, not because you love me, but because you're merciful and you're a great God. Save me today. Boy, there's some people in this building today that are lost and on their way to hell, and they need to cry out to God to save them. Save them from a devil's hell. But there's others that are, bound by sin. Even after you were saved, you went back and shackled yourself to something in this life. And you need to cry out to God to save you from that. You can't get loose of that on your own. You can't have victory by yourself. The indwelling Spirit of God is longing and dragging. I don't even know what the sin is, but you do right now. The Holy Spirit of God is poking you on the inside saying, "Get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this." You say, "Brother Parsons, boy, this doesn't sound like love." Boy, it's a loving chapter. I'm not kidding you. He goes on, he says here in verse 17, "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord." Can you ever imagine being ashamed of your true love? I can't ever imagine not telling somebody, "This is my beautiful wife. This is the wife God gave me." It wasn't by accident. He knew what I needed. He knew better than I did. And he gave me that person. Just the right person to be my helpmeet in this life. But how about more, the true love that I have in God? God help me that I'd ever come to a place that I'd choke down and not say something. I'd not be proud of the Savior that I have. That when he prompts my heart to speak up and to say, "This is my Lord, thou art my God," that I wouldn't say something. He says, he goes through all these different verses. He says in verse 18, "Let the lying lips be put to silent, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." And boy, we could make application of that today, but we don't have time. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." Well, I don't even have time to preach on that, but I'm so glad there are times in this life when I'm not ready to battle and I just need to be hid in his presence. I need to find a secret place away with just me and him in his presence. There's no good, folks, in the Christian life if you get away from everything else into a secret place, and that place is absence of God's presence. Now, I don't think there is such a place, but sometimes we find ourselves in a place that he doesn't feel like he's there. When I get alone and I get away and I need encouragement and I cry out to God, I want to go to a place that I know God's presence is there. I want him to be thick in that place. I want him to be all my life. Every Christian should have that place for themselves. The old timers called it your prayer closet. In recent days, people have called it a war room. But you ought to have a secret place where you know you can find God. And it always wasn't a prayer closet in the house. I know of some men that had a path in the woods, and they found a place out in nature that they fell on their face before God, and they'd call out to him. He goes through all this, and he says, hide me in a secret place of the presence from the pride of man, that thou shalt, look at that, shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I have sit in my haste. This is when the psalmist, he's telling on himself. You ever done that before? You ever come to the place where you really told people what was secret inside your heart? I mean, he has bragged on God, and it's hard for me to even put into place that this was a song. And he comes to this place where he starts telling, I have said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. He makes an honest appeal, and he says, yes, it's true. He's my true love. I've cried out, thou art my God. But then things got bad. Then everybody jumped on me. Then they cried out with their voices on me. I mean, they come after me like you wouldn't believe. And I mean, he tells the whole story throughout the chapter. And then he says, I said in my haste. Because God didn't step in and shut them up. He didn't smack them across their face or knock them down on the first day just because it looked like they were winning for a little while. I said in my haste, the psalmist says. He said, I said to myself, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. I mean, just because I had one bad day, I decided God wasn't in it anymore. He said, I know I've cried out and said, thou art my God, and I trusted in thee, but it only made it a day or so. And my trust only went so far. And then he tells you just how good our God is. He said, when I was saying that in my heart, you heard my supplication anyway. Even when I didn't have the faith to go far enough to trust you all the way until you came through anyway. Hey, folks, we live in a country where we need God on it. We live in a day that if God's not in it and on us, then we are in trouble. And when we call out to our true love, I pray to God that a church like ours would have faith to go all the way through. But even if you come a day short, we serve a God that is working all things together in his will. And even when you think or you fall in faith, he will bust the sky wide open just like he said he would and return for his own and call his bride away. Even if we get disheartened and think, you know, he said he was coming, but I don't know. I've seen some people that went far enough and then they drew back. And he says here, He said, the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. And listen, in verse 23, here's the last two points. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. He said he came through anyway. His message to you and to me today, I would say this. He'd said, a true love is going to say it. But number two, a true love is going to show it. If you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, it will show forth in your life. And the psalmist cries out to you and asks you, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentiful. Look at this, plentiful reward. Not just, this isn't talking about you. God's not just a rewarder of the good, but he's a rewarder of evil as well. He said, and plentiful reward plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Listen, today, how do I show it? Do you know we serve a God that has given every one of us time, talents, and treasures? And if I could tell you how I show the one that I love on this side of heaven that I love them, I give them my time, the most precious thing that God's given any one of us. I give of my talents. This week, I told you last week, if I didn't get that dishwasher put in, I'd be in trouble. Amen. It's in, praise God. Amen. I did it myself. No leaks. Amen. And then, you know what? My treasure. There are things that every one of us hold precious, and they don't have to be money. It could be a number of things. Sometimes the most precious thing to us is our spouse. And sometimes God wants them. wants their time and their talents. And they're the thing that we have to give away the most. We have to let God have them for a certain amount of time. Hey, you say, Brother Parsons, do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. Sometimes it is what's in our pocket. This is what's precious. Sometimes he wants in our wallet. And sometimes he just wants, I mean, whatever it is. I don't know what it is that God is speaking to you about today, but I know there's some things that you treasure that God wants from you as well. He loves you, and he doesn't just want you to say it. He wants you to show it. I'm preaching to the choir, but one of the ways you show God you love him is showing up in his house and meeting with him. Lastly, he says this, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. He is the great hope that we have in this life. And you say, what's last? Listen, be of good courage. If you truly love somebody, you'll stand up for them. Right. Wasn't all that long ago. We live in a pacifistic society, except for when people riot and bust windows out of places. But when I grew up, if you said something even slightly wrong around a lady, a man would take you out back and wallop you until you gave a permit, until you said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I heard stories where my dad, somebody said something cross in front of my mother, and he took that man out back until he was willing to apologize. And he came back, and you say, whoa, that's not right. That's not Christian. Listen, that's just the way it used to be, folks. I don't believe in using the fist. I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age that you got to come back to a place of man being men. It's all right. It's all right if you don't, you know. I'm just going to tell you, if I had not been able as a boy to come to blows with my cousins a few times, I don't think I'd be the man that I am today. If every time that somebody balls their fist up, you don't know what it's like to be hit, and you go like this. Amen. There's some times I've been in some quarrels with people that I knew I was on the right side. I was like, go on. And I've heard it not too long ago from Brother Tony said from the college pulpit, he said, and if you expect me to turn my cheek like Jesus, I ain't him yet. I'm not made in his image yet. You say, Brother Parsons, come on now. I believe that we live in a day and age where we've gotten so pacified as men that we let the world steamroll over us when we ought to stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks. You say, well, what are you talking about? I don't believe in this fighting. The Bible says that we're supposed to quit you like men. That don't mean you're supposed to quit. It means you're supposed to stand up like a man. In the day and age we live, we don't let people steamroll over us. We ought to stand up and speak up for Jesus to a place where the world knows, I'm not messing with them. They believe what they say. If you'll back down, I'll tell you right now like this. If somebody came to hurt my wife, they'd have to kill me first. I'd give my life in defense of my wife. And I'd go beyond that. If they dishonored my wife, I'd be after them. Brother Howes used to preach a message when I was a young boy. It helped me greatly understand the love of God. He preached a message on God's three great loves. He preached about God's first great love was his holiness, because God is holy. And he said his second great love was his justice, that he was a just God. And then he preached that God's third great love was man. And those three great loves, and God built his loving way, perfect world that we don't enjoy today, because then man fell into sin. And God, because of his holiness and his justice, couldn't just reach down and bring man back into himself. Because if God in his holiness, think about this, God brought man back to himself, God wasn't being just, because the soul that sinneth, it must die, the Bible says. And so if God wasn't just, then God couldn't be holy. So God began to think, I think God already had it figured out, don't you think? That's what Brother Howes used to say. But after man sinned, God sent his son to die on Calvary. Because God still had to have his love of holiness, and God had to be just. And God loved man so much that he sent his only begotten son to redeem him back to himself, that so God could have all three of his great loves back again. And through his son dying on Calvary, he retained his holiness. And he retained his justice. But even today, he's still calling men and women to come back into himself and to receive what his son paid for on Calvary. If you're here today, and I mean, there's a ton of people in this room that, without a doubt, just like me, walked an old-fashioned aisle and came down to a place like this and accepted that Savior. They came down and were restored and became the great love of God that God had always wanted them to return and be. But without a doubt, there are people in this room today that have never done that. They've never came down and let someone take a Bible, just like this one, and show them how to be saved, how God loved them and died for them and paid for their sin and has given them a home in heaven if they'd simply put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this true love, I want to speak up for it. I want to show it to my God every day of my life. And I want to spend my life standing up for it through the thick and the thin. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus as that great love, boy, I pray you would today. Would you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? The pianist is on her way. The song leader is going to lead us in singing. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, don't leave this place today without him. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You never became a part of the church. Well, why don't you come this morning and be a part of the church through baptism? Maybe you need to move your membership this morning. Whatever it is that God is calling and asking you to do, would you make him and show him that he's that great love this morning by doing those things? I'm going to pray, and then Brother Bert's going to sing. Dear God, I pray that you'd be with every person in the building. God, I pray that you would not let those that are lost leave this building without being saved. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would tug on their heart and help them to come. Help them to be courageous and to step out and be saved this morning. Help those that need baptism to come. Help those that need to join the church to be here. Well, thank you, and we'll ask it all in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to
with me this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior, we beg you to step out and come down and receive Christ as your Savior. It'll be the best decision that you ever could make in this world. It'll remove the weights that you didn't think could be removed. It'll give you peace beyond all understanding this morning. If you're here and you've been saved, why don't you step out and get baptized and unite with this church? If you're here and you've been holding on to your membership and you haven't transferred by letter, why don't you join us today? Please do whatever God has asked you to do. Don't wait. Don't delay. Come and ask Christ into your heart today.
just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Well, it's always brokenhearted when somebody doesn't come and be saved, amen? Let me tell you this morning, you don't have to walk an aisle to be saved. You need to trust in Jesus Christ to do that. And even though the invitation ends today, it's still open to you. And you can still come and receive Christ. You can stop me, Brother Perkins, all these different men that are in the building. If you see a Bible in their hand, if you ask them, if they can't tell you, they'll find somebody who can help you. Well, I appreciate every one of you being here today. And I hope that you'll spend some time today with your true love. Amen. And if you don't have one yet, you ladies in the college and men, if you don't have those, then you can spend your time in the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And praying furiously for one of those special people to be able to spend your life with. Amen. All right. Let's pray together and be dismissed. Brother Perkins, come and pray for us, my brother.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning. We do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the message that we just heard. And Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus that died on Calvary to save us from our sins. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, Lord, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you. We praise you for it. In Christ's name.